Hey, Sherry, I saw a meme about a true friend the other day that said, I can't be your friend if you can't handle my weirdness, sarcasm, stupid jokes, and my tendency to laugh at almost everything. Well, I thought that was so funny because you know that last one is definitely me. Will you still be my friend?
Of course. I love your laugh.
Well, I hope so. My laughing at almost everything is good to have in a co-host, you know.
Your laugh is infectious in the best possible way. And one of our listeners emailed us, in fact, about her longing for a friend to laugh with. She said, I wish there were friends who really wanted me to spend time with, to feel valued, and who wanted the love, joy, and friendship that I have to give back. Covenant-type friends sent from God.
Oh, me too. That kind of friend waters my soul.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Our guest today is Mary Snyder, author of Authentic Girlfriends, Real Women Finding Real Faith. Mary describes herself as slightly frazzled, but seriously blessed. She's a speaker relations director for Compassion International, the wife of one, mom of two, and lives in North Central Alabama.
Lord, send me girlfriends. So clearly you understand our listeners who are looking for friends. Why are girlfriends so important?
I think for me, girlfriends kind of round out my life. I have a husband, I have children, but there's something about that one-on-one or one-on-many, because, you know, I have a few, that those female relationships that kind of get the things that the guys don't get or your children don't want to get. Like when, you know, hair starts growing out of your chin, you know, something you want to talk to a man about, but something your girlfriends totally get. And beyond that, it's also in those hard seasons when you have littles that are pulling at you and men that while they love us, they just don't quite understand why if one more person touches me, I'm taking them out today.
Oh, yes.
They totally get that. And they can commiserate and laugh with you. And it just makes it a little bit easier to walk that path, whatever the path is that you're currently in.
Well, there's so many roadblocks to friendship, it seems like, in our culture right now, and especially for perfectionists. So why do you think perfectionists might have a hard time developing close friendships?
Well, and I think not that I am one, because, Lord, I gave that up years ago. but perfectionists, I think they're looking for the perfect opportunity. Everything's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be smooth. My kids have to be settled. You know, my man has to be settled before I can ever take a moment for myself. Well, sweetheart, if you're going to be alone as far as girlfriends go. You have to kind of set that aside and make it a priority. So to all the perfectionists out there, understand that you are not perfect, nor will you ever be, much like me. And there are women out there who are just like you, who are struggling in that perfection, and they would love to link arms with somebody and walk through this season and this life together.
So what kinds of practical tips would you have? I know for me and my perfectionism, one of the way it manifested is that I had a hard time being authentic because I was trying to be perfect. So what kind of tips do you have for us to get over that and to really break through and have deep, close relationships?
Well, and while I'm not a perfectionist, I totally get what you're saying, Amy, because I was the girl who wanted to look like she had it all together.
Yes.
I said the appropriate church, language. I knew the right things to say and how to say them. All the time, I was melting and dying inside because I truly needed relationships beyond those that were in my home.
Yes.
I tell you what the Lord showed me is that she doesn't have to look like me. And when I say look like me, I don't mean physically look like me. I mean, she doesn't have to be in my life space. I have girlfriends that the absolute only thing we have in common is Jesus. One of my best. Well, she loves bluegrass. I tolerate bluegrass. She's a blue jeans, tennis shoes, no makeup, Burt's Bees on her lips. And that's, you know, way to go. And I'm a little bit more high maintenance. You know, I have my nails done, my lashes done, my hair done. So we have nothing in common, but we absolutely have the best time together. And we both love Jesus. And I think sometimes we're waiting for the right person, or we've identified the right person, and we miss the one the Lord is putting directly in front of you. So my prayer as I was building a girlfriend network, and also that waxes and wanes as we move through life. But my prayer is, Lord, let me see the one that you've got standing in front of me, not the one I want to be friends with.
That is incredibly wise.
Now, I was always a BFF. We didn't have that expression when I was younger, but I was a best friends kind of gal. So I would latch onto someone and not let them go until they were pretty much drained dry. And so you just used a phrase that I'm intrigued by, girlfriend network. What do you mean by that?
Because there are girls that I love to go eat Mexican food with. Then there's girls that totally get me talking about my nail issues. Then there are girlfriends that are, you know, the ones that are Bible teachers, and we get together and we really dig into that. There's a network. And I'm a BFF girl too, but I have a couple of really, really close friends. They have heard some stuff. And then I have girlfriends that I do different things with. So I think there's a benefit in the network because, Sherry, like you, I would hang on until the bitter end. And I will tell you, until the Lord pried literally my hands off of that relationship. But for a season, I knew, Lord, this is unhealthy.
Yeah.
I know it's unhealthy, but I've committed. Sometimes I wish we as women would commit more to our spouses than we do to our girlfriend. You know, I've seen some women that were way overcommitted, and that's not healthy. So definitely have a network, and that network will bless and benefit you through the differences of life. You know, maybe a friend who has kids the same age, or, you know, a girlfriend that works in the same place you do.
It sounds like the network allows you to spread your needs over a wider number of people rather than to take a whole bunch of neediness, which is why I burn through BFFs, is I would like place all of my unmet needs on this one person. And, you know, for a period of time, it would be great. And then, of course, it would burn out. What I'm hearing from you is less expectations on any one person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It allows you, and I love you say spread your neediness, because I'm a mess of neediness. And we all are. We have to know that. You're just, if one person is all you've got, and I've been that one person that was receiving, and I've been the one person that was pouring out. So I've been on both sides of that. So yeah, that network does truly, and I've never really thought about it like that, Sherry, but it spreads my neediness.
Well, and you used just a word that has caused a lot of angst in my life, which is you said something about seasons of friendship. And in my head, you know, there's this perfect way that you do friendship, and it's from your childhood until you die, you know. And yet what I've been learning about is seasons. But tell us a little bit about your perspective on that.
Well, that comes from 50 years of living girlfriends out. And it was the same way. I was so envious of people that met when they were in kindergarten and they their children together. And that just is not my story, but it's some people's story.
Yes.
My story is much more of a seasonal. I have girlfriends I've known since high school. We're not still running around together, but we still connect. Thank you, Facebook.
Exactly.
With
Facebook, we would not. We would get Christmas cards. But seasons of friendship. There's a group of women that I did life with for about 10 years. We were in Bible study together, raising our kids together, different variations of that. But as the kids grew up and spread, it kind of was like we kind of, you know, dissipated. But it doesn't mean we're not still friends. It's just that we're not in active season of friendship. There are some women that I am close to because I'm in church with them. There's some people I'm very close to because I work with them. They're in my network of what I do. And that waxes and wanes. And I think we have to give ourselves permission to be okay with that.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is how do you get over, if you're the one who feels disappointed by that or feels even a little bitter because the season is over. How do you get over that?
And I've been there. I've been in that bitter place where I'm just like, well, she broke up with me. I don't even know. But then I really, truly have to step back and go, okay, Lord, I know when you remove something, it's because something else coming. And if I am, and I'm not saying I haven't cried a few tears over it and been upset, but I'm very much, and I'm not confrontational, but I will confront a situation and I'll just pick up a phone and call and say, darling, I love you. Is there something I did to hurt you? Or are we just in a new season?
Really good.
You know, I'm busy at work. I've got this. And maybe it's just that, hey, you're too needy and I don't want to deal with you. But she didn't say that. you know, we have to own our mess sometimes. We have to own our mess. And there's nothing wrong with new friendships because with that comes new experience.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I'm thinking, because this podcast is for reforming perfectionists and people pleasers, and I'm thinking that in that season shift can be when it's really dangerous to start people pleasing, when you feel a friend being distant, to start calling more often. And these days we could text them more often. Any tips for when you realize a friendship has actually run a natural course and nobody did anything wrong, but it's going to move from active status to maybe Facebook status?
I think that for me, and I've walked that on both sides of that coin, and just to know that the more you text somebody, the more you reach out, it almost becomes the needy girl. And I've been the needy girl, so I totally get that. And I am a people pleaser from way back. I want everybody to love me. And then once you love me, I'll kick you to the curb. But as long as you love me, you know?
Well, you're so lovable, Mary. Our audience already knows this.
Too much, because you're out of here. But I've learned that I have to pull back. I have to say, you know what? It is a natural course. Free myself up. Am I going to miss it? Definitely. I mean, I've had relationships that we were so close. We did everything together. And then all of a sudden, it's over. Now, that is painful. And I'm not even going to tell you that that's not going to hurt, because it is. How do you walk through that? You grieve the relationship. Give yourself permission to grieve the relationship. And another thing that I think every woman needs to hear is that sometimes they're unhealthy relationships that you need to separate yourself from, but you can grieve the relationship you thought it was.
Oh, that's so good. Well, and of course, for the perfectionist, we have to grieve the ideal perfect relationship that Amy was talking about in our head.
Because oftentimes that ideal perfection is in our heads.
Yeah.
You know, we set people on pedestals, and then when they fall off, we have to grieve. I made a comment to somebody the other day. They asked me about a very sticky relationship, and they said, well, do you miss her? And I said, I miss the friendship I thought I had.
Oh, that's so good.
And I think we have to be wise and keep our eyes open.
Yeah.
Grieve the relationship. Know that it hurts, and be honest with the other person and say, you know what? I miss hanging out with you. I know our season is ending, or I know we're busy, or we're moving in different directions, but I miss hanging out with you.
That's a sweet way to deal with that.
Again, from the perfectionist standpoint, perfectionists usually don't know how to grieve well. If there's pain involved, it means we did something wrong, so we want to avoid it. And so I appreciate you acknowledging that friendships do come to an end. That's a normal, natural thing, at least on this planet. And that there is grief involved in it. And that's important to honor that. We don't need to wallow in it, but to pretend it doesn't exist means that we're missing an important part of the friendship cycle.
Well, so one question I have, because it's interesting that here I am, I'm 49, and I realized until I was about 40, I didn't evaluate my friendships going in. I just kind of, whoever was in front of me, that's who I spent time with. And I probably invested a lot of time and energy into some friendships I shouldn't have. So how do you evaluate whether it's time to kind of separate a little bit, or even in going in, what's worth investing in and what's not?
I think you have to take stock. And I think, Amy, much like you, I was, you know, moving into my 40s when this started becoming a realization in my life, before I really realized that, okay, this is an investment. It's an emotional investment. And I think I pull back and I look at something. First of all, do we have the same values? Because we don't have to like the same things, but we have to have similar value sets. Now, we can have different political leanings. We can even have different, I mean, she may be not be biblically sound. She may not be a Christian, but I can still be friends with her. And I think when I say values, I mean value of life, integrity. Is she robbing banks for a living? Because I'm probably not going to run with her, you know? But when I say values, I'm somebody that I respect. Mm-hmm. way they do life. May not agree with it, may not be my cup of tea, but do I respect the way that they handle themselves? So that's the first thing. The second thing is I have to watch and see if they're an emotional vampire. Immediately become her BFF, literally upon meeting. And she is pouring out her life story to me before we've even gotten through what our middle names are.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know the name of my dog or my kids. And I know her entire life story. Big pause. I used to think that was because people loved me so much. And I thought, oh, well, she just loves me a whole bunch because she's telling me everything. No. She's doing that because she's going to, and I hate to say that, but that's a manipulation. Be cautious. And also just watching. I like to make it really simple. Get to know them from kind of like, hey, let's grab lunch together or let's do a coffee, you know, a couple of quick phone calls. We do something together here and there. And then kind of assess, okay, and this sounds awful, but Lord, is it worth the investment of time?
I would have said 10 years ago, that is awful. I don't say that anymore.
But if you have X number of hours in your day and in your life that you are going to spend with your people, literally your people, your family, your spouse, your immediate family, and then you have a certain amount of time and energy you're going to expend on relationships. So how you do that, it's as I think as we get older and more mature, we realize how valuable those are and how precious they are. And we're much more cautious about making sure that this is someone that I want pouring into me.
That's good.
Good point.
Not just, but I want pouring into me. I want to rub up against this person and do life with her.
I love it. Now, in your book, God, Grace, and Girlfriends, Adventures in Faith and Friendship, you talk about possible trips, events, and adventures for you and your girlfriends to explore, which totally appeals to me because I'm not one of those who sits around and does nothing. I don't understand doing nothing. I'm much more of an action kind of person. So tell us what you mean by trips, events, and adventures, because I don't really think of those in friendship going together, but I'm willing to learn.
Well, one of my favorite adventures I've ever done with a girlfriend, and we've done tons together, but one of my favorite was we did 12 days on Route 66.
Oh, how fun.
Everybody can do that. And we still look back at that and go, how in the world did we carve out 2 weeks to do this? And I say that to say, yeah, that's a tough one. But there are adventures that happen right in your very city. I have a group of girlfriends that, and we don't do it as much as we did before, but we would literally just jump in the car and find something local. And there's some funky stuff in your town because everybody's got it.
You know, I live near Santa Cruz. There's plenty funk.
Yeah, I've got all kind of strange up in there. But we have a hunting dog cemetery. And it's hilarious. We would go and do stuff like that. There's a cave that was supposed to be a speakeasy back in the 20s. We went and looked at that and just kind of climbed around. We go to antique shops just to find weird stuff. Just anything that is, instead of just sitting across the table and eating, because first of all, that makes me fat. And second of all, there's something so much more fun about linking arms and just going and doing. We've literally gone and looked at ghost signs. If you know what a ghost sign is, it's a sign that was painted on a brick building back in the 20s and 30s, like Coca-Cola. And a lot of towns will have ghost signs in their alleys. And we'll go and just look at them and just have fun and try to, you know, wonder what this was, wonder what this looked like. You know, just literally just doing life together and finding fun adventures. Events, we've gone to Bible studies and conferences and all kind of things like that. And then, you know, adventures, like I said, can be from very small, very much a day for you, particularly for the young moms who are raising up their littles. There's state parks, there's hiking trails. Not that I'm more of an indoorsy kind of girl. You know, there's the outdoorsy kind. I'm an indoorsy, but I just found a glamping site that is indoors. So my life is now complete. Complete with campers inside. I mean, there's everything about
it. Love it. I was about to ask what it is, and I get it now.
Fantastic.
And it's in Warrington, Texas, right near Round Top, where they have the big antique show every year. But I'm trying to find a bunch of friends because I want us to rent the entire thing because I feel like we would just have a party every night around our, you know, Suedo campfire or faux campfire inside.
I love it. You know, what I love here is the intentionality, Mary. And yes. A word I'm going to throw in here that sounds like it fits is celebration. It sounds like you're finding intentional ways to have fun, to turn anything into an event, rather than, oh, what you want to do? I don't know what you want to do. And just having a very mediocre average. There's a focal point to it. And it also sounds like you could easily pull a group together around the event. And so it could be a mixed group of people who were just happen to be interested in this one thing. And so, again, nobody has to bond and become BFFs. The bond is you did this thing together.
Absolutely. We started going to paint. We don't sip wine because we're Southern Baptists, but we do paint and sip, you know, water or soda or sweet tea, whatever you want to sip. I mean, if you want to sip wine, I'm good with it. No judgment here. But I'm just putting that out there as a precursor. We don't, you know, because somebody might hear this that I go to church with and they would think it was inappropriate. No, we don't sip wine. We're not with the church group anyway. So not telling you about the other groups, but we can do that. And it's just the goofiest time because none of us can. I mean, well, there's a couple of them that are really good. And then there's the rest of us. And a couple of my girlfriends think I'm nuts, but I so want to put together a bus trip of Route 66. And where I take, you know, 12 to 60 of my closest friends, and we just do Route 66 on a bus.
Well, Sherry and I might want to be on that trip.
Absolutely.
So just
let us know,
okay?
Sign us up.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, my word. You know what it makes me think of? I'm so inspired. It makes me think of how we, you know, intentionally date our husbands and have date nights. I am going to start this with my friends that will rotate. Like, it's your month, and girlfriend, I planned something great last month, so it's on. You
know? No pressure. There is an intentionality to it. And I think for me, it came out of raising children and being a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Because that was the hardest job I ever did. Absolutely the hardest job. Right. And knew I had to do something or I was just going to go back crack crazy, you know. So
yeah,
we started really putting things together.
Well, the three of us are women of a certain age. We think it's a very fine age. But we have this really sweet young intern. She's newly married, just out of college. In fact, she's one of my son's friends from college. And now she's my friend, too, which is the coolest. But she has been so surprised at how difficult it has been to make friends now that she's out of college. And I remember college days. That was so much fun. You had so much time on your hands. And so what advice would you give to young women coming out of college? How do you transition and make friends in that new phase of life?
Well, and I've walked this with my daughter. She married young and she was just out of college. And because everything shifts when you marry, you know, nobody wants to ask you to go to the club anymore. You know, not that you should go to the club anyway, but nobody's asking you now. I think that you have to get intentional about it. You have to find women in your workplace that are in your same life space, maybe married. They don't have to be your age. You know, look at women who are older within your church group. I highly recommend getting involved in a young marrieds class, a small group. If you don't have one in your church, then look for one in your community because I guarantee you there's one around. Being intentional, literally picking up the phone or texting, however you want to roll. Hey, I would love to get together, have coffee. Can we, you know, grab coffee together? Because nobody's going to come up to you and knock on your door and invite you to a party. That stopped when you left college.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have this built-in friendship. So there is, for the first time in your life, you have to assess who you want to be friends with. So what a blessing that is. You get to pick and choose now. You get to make the selection. Reconnect with old high school friends. Two of my best friends live away from me. And we stay connected through Skype. We visit two or three times a year. So it doesn't have to be somebody right in your space. Young people, you can definitely stay in touch via Skype. Now, you definitely need to have people that are right there in your space because you can't your entire life, you know, via Skype. But you know, be intentional. Look for those relationships. And you know what? You have the opportunity. This is your chance to pick and choose who you want in your life and who you want to be doing life with.
Head over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode45 to enter this week's drawing for a copy of Mary's book, Authentic Girlfriends, Real Women Finding Real Faith.
You'll also find links to this week's Digging Deeper download, Bible verse art, and transcript.
We hope you've enjoyed episode number 45 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Join us next week as we share what we've learned from our conversation with Mary.
For today, grow your grit, Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.
I remember it was so cool because I was always the youngest one. I always lean into those older. It was a natural thing that happened. I didn't plan it that way. And then one day I woke up and I was the oldest one. It's like,
I'm the oldest one all the time right now. And it's great and depressing.
It's better than not being there at all.
Yeah. And that's like telling myself, and I'm just like, hey, you know, and they're all having babies and they're calling me for advice. And I'm like, okay, so I'm that gal now.